Welcome, ladies and gentlemen of Elegant Leisure. We're here for another episode.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. With my cohorts.
Sure. Should we take the roll call?
Yeah. We've got me, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Here.
And Fred.
Present.
And Jason, our saloon keeper.
Here.
Excellent. Well,
when did we start letting ladies in?
Well, you know, come on, Fred. I mean, sure, we like to hark back to yesteryear, but still, we gotta want to be inclusive, right?
What? Did I sound like a lady? Have I been kissed in my own crib?
Anyway, on this episode, we're gonna put the gin bottle back up on the shelf for a bit. We're bringing down the whiskey.
Yeah.
Now, I have to admit, I'm a complete whiskey ignoramus, so I'm just going to go have a nap, and I'll let you and Fred take over.
I don't think you're an ignoramus at all. You just don't like it.
Well, we'll see. Maybe
this is going to change your mind.
Well, okay. Whiskey gets a bad rap, right? Scotch particularly gets a bad rap.
Yeah, I know my dad. He hates scotch.
Right.
I understand it.
But why does he hate scotch?
I don't know. It's the default spirit day. I don't really know.
It's funny because a lot of people hate gin.
Yeah,
because
I didn't like gin.
Right.
I like it more now. Now, you have to appreciate the juniper to like gin. And with whiskey, I think you have to appreciate a whole bunch of other flavors because there isn't two whiskeys aren't. You rarely find two whiskeys that are the same. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Is, oh, I like whiskey. Oh, I don't like this whiskey. This is all smoky and iodine-y.
Yeah. Yeah, and yet it all falls under that same title.
Sure.
Particularly Scotch whiskey.
Yeah.
Like bourbon whiskey. Bourbon, I find, is a lot more similar a lot of the time because of the what's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still differences, but it's more similar than...
Yeah.
Then scotch with its smoky one, or a heathery one, or a peaty one, or the other one.
Your Islas with your sea breezes and, you know, iodine and whatnot.
Seagull droppings. So anyway, scotch is bad. I mean, the same problem with rum. It used to be a few years ago when I first got into rum and tiki drinks and found all of the different rums that were available and how by mixing them you got a different flavor profile. But if you went to somebody's house, they usually had one bottle of rum. It was the one they always got. Quite often it was Lemon Heart Demerara rum, which is a great rum. I'm not going to say anything against it, but I don't think that it is... I don't think it is representative of what...
No.
I don't think it's a generic rum.
No.
I think a Jamaican rum is probably more of a generic rum.
Yeah. There's Captain Morgan spiced rum.
Yeah, and once you get into a spiced rum, I don't think that it's...
No.
If that was your one rum, you say, I don't like rum, it's too spicy, or whatever your problem was. You say, well, have you tried this one? You say, well, no, I always get the same one.
So for those people who are having trouble drinking alcohol, we can find you an alcohol that you will love.
Oh.
Eventually. Yeah. Just keep listening.
Let's do a little experiment here.
All right.
We have two bottles of whiskey. This first one is the famous Grouse. It's a blend, a Scotch whiskey blend. Scotch whiskey. And I'm going to crack it right here, live on the air.
Wow.
Whiskey. And I'm just going to give everybody a little sip of this guy, just straight. We'll use the glasses that we're going to be using for that. And as soon as I'm doing this, I'm starting to wonder why the hell I'm doing this. You can't do this at home. You don't have these two bottles of scotch or whiskey at home.
Or do you?
Or maybe you do. If you do, you're very lucky. Pass that over to Freddie there, Dave.
Freddie. Fred.
And then here's for Dave, not a Scotch fan, but why not? And the reason I chose this was because Ted Haig, Dr. Cocktail, says that he likes to use it in one of the drinks we're doing. It's a good yet mild blend, such as he calls it, the famous Grouse. So it's a blend. It's going to please more people.
Yeah,
maybe even Dave's dad would go with this.
Not Dave, apparently.
Wow.
Shouldn't have knocked it back like that, Dave. That's...
Yeah, I should have known.
A little hit of iodine off the top there.
Yeah, you're right. There is a little hit, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's not bad.
Mm. So more people should drink straight scotch. But now this other guy, and this is fantastic. This is Old Potrero, 18th century style whiskey, made by the Anchor Distilling Company in San Francisco, California. So it's 18th century style. So it's completely different. I don't know how they managed to match that flavor profile. Maybe they had an old bottle that they were able to find, and then they said to the modern mixers to say, "Can you get something like this?" But it's it ain't famous grouse.
No,
it's a rye, right?
Right, 100% rye, because that's what the old whiskeys were. So this isn't the bourbon.
And it's 51.2%, so don't just knock it back, Dave, or else
you'll be on the floor.
You'll be unhappy.
Thank you very much. I'll have to take that.
I've tasted it before, but I don't think Fred has tasted it.
No. No, you can't get that up here.
No.
But you can get it in Seattle.
Hard to find in Canada. Even hard to find in Seattle, but I managed to find it in Seattle.
I don't even know what that smells like.
Yeah, exactly, right? And now I do have to taste it.
Oh.
See, you could say it's not very good.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that it's not very good. I just think it's different, but it's so different, right?
It tastes like some of the young whiskeys I've had, from some of the companies that just, when they were just starting out.
Yes.
Like those guys out of Portland, we had...
I'm feeling sort of a bite coming around just underneath the tongue after I just got it in there. It's like, oh my god.
That might be the 51%
It refuses to go down. It just wants to hang around in the mouth.
We're going to need to get an EpiPen.
I think so. Yeah, I don't know what that... Yeah. No, it's not unpleasant.
It's not unpleasant, although I've read reviews that say it has an unpleasant taste. But I don't think it's unpleasant.
No,
I think it's just different, yeah. Right?
No. It's
I mean, of the two of them, obviously, you'd probably, as a
non-drinker,
you'd probably want to go more famous grouse over old Potrero.
It tastes like a young whiskey.
It tastes a little funky, too. It almost has a mezcal, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The last time I had mezcal was a while ago, but there's a funk to it anyway.
It's cool.
Oh, it's cool.
Oh, yeah. So let's try that. So what are we making?
Yeah, what's on the menu?
Well, I think the very first show, Dave and I did a drink with Holland's gin in it, but the original cocktail from David Wondrich, imbibed Jerry Thomas Bible book here we're looking at, the original cocktail is composed of water with the addition of rum, gin, or brandy, as one chooses, a third of the spirit to two-thirds of water, add some bitters, and enrich with sugar and nutmeg, blah, 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 right? But in David Wondrich's book here, he mentions that the whiskey version of the cocktail ran a distant third. And the first reference to a whiskey one comes in 1838. So we're going on a bit of a time travel trip here.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it with the old Potrero here. And we'll see what it's like. And then we'll do a modern whiskey drink, or more modern, 1920s, late 20s, early 30s, the Blood and Sand, which we'll use the famous grouse. But whiskey is a funny guy, and so we're gonna give it a whirl here. And the original one of this, I don't think they even used ice, but we're gonna use ice because
it's summer.
It's the 21st century. We have ice. They didn't use ice because they didn't have ice.
Yes, and David Wondrich also says he likes his with ice, and I don't blame him. So let's get the ice.
If we can only open the ice bucket, we'll get back to you, folks. Here's a message from our sponsor.
So this goes back to some of the early cocktails when you're adding nutmeg and bitters. We got bitters in this one? No.
We're going to use Peychaud's bitters in this one.
Peychaud's bitters? Yeah. The original bitters. Aren't they only one of the standards of in the 1850s? 60s, 1850s?
I don't...
think way back.
Yeah. They're involved with the Sazerac outfit.
Oh, now they are, sure.
What does he say here? He says it really calls for stoutens, but you got to make your own.
Oh.
But Angostura or Peychaud's will work just fine, seeing as their formula dates to 1824 and sometime in the 1830s.
So there you go.
Sorry.
See.
Sorry, Fretters.
Why do people not believe me?
Because you lie.
Is that why? Oh, okay. Well, fair enough.
So that's
perfectly understandable then.
Well, this is going to use up a lot of this.
Back to Seattle.
But that's the purpose, right? The purpose. This is a purpose.
A purpose. Yeah.
This is going to be a pretty heady one. Heady Lamar. Mm-hmm. that the 2 ounces of the spirit, 2/3 of water, so that's going to be 3 ounces of nice fresh water.
Mm. I've got a feeling after drinking this, I may be the gentleman of elegant seizure. That's our other podcast.
Some bitters. This I had to drive because I couldn't get this in Canada when I got the patient bitters. This was from Bellingham, Washington. Thank you, Bellingham, Washington.
Bellingham, you've saved us again.
1, 2, 3, 4. And that's...
Let me have a whiff of the Peychauds. I don't have any Peychauds.
Look at the Peychauds there.
The Grand Exhibition of Altona, Germany. It's 1869.
Well, you see, that's all over the place.
Yeah.
1/2 ounce of sugar syrup, which I have freshly made. My bed, a mess, but the simple syrup, freshly made.
It's got Peychauds, that's got a nice aroma to it.
Yeah, that's kind of wacky. And look at this, I even went and got the nutmeg for you guys.
Oh wow. You really...
Which I think maybe we'll put on top of the drink. I don't think we're going to mix it up in here.
You're like only the best. You really are like Jerry Thomas. That's why he went bankrupt.
You're going to die penniless.
Yeah.
At 52?
With mice dancing on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Oh, Fred, you couldn't have silenced Fred, your phone.
Come on.
Unknown. There I like that sound better.
Yeah, that would be a great ringtone. Can you get the cocktail shaker ringtone?
I'm looking for that.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. So here we go. Time travel trip. Ooh, look at the fantastic color of that, eh? Isn't that
colors
cool?
Up nice.
Yeah, looks like it's pink as...
Jerry Thomas's cheeks.
That's because of all the booze.
Poor Jerry.
And this is great, because even though I've had the Potrero here for a few months, and got it particularly because he had mentioned it for this recipe, I had yet to actually use it in a recipe. I've just been drinking it straight, trying to convince myself that it was one of those kind of...
So 1820s in New York City.
This is a lot.
You could have got one of these.
I guess you could have.
If you had, 15 cents in your pocket or whatever it cost.
Yes, indeed. That looks fantastic. Holy cow.
Nice little bit of foam kind of texture floating on the top there.
Now remember, so we got 2 ounces of booze in it, but then there's 3 ounces of water. So it's cut already, right?
Right.
I mean, it looks kind of daunting, like this is going to kill us. It might. All right. What's the smell like? You get a bit of the rubber from the old Potrero.
Yeah. But taking a bit of hit off the bitters there.
Mm-hmm. Let's have a sip.
Yeah, that's mainly the whiskey.
Yeah.
Yes, but holy cow, it really softens that whiskey.
Yeah. It takes the edge off.
Yeah.
I forgot to put the nutmeg.
Nutters.
Bring them back. Nutmeg is off. Because you're going to get a...
What are you, Volkswagen?
Suddenly
all the drinks are being recalled.
And for Freddie, a little bit of nutmeg. A la Jerry Thomas. There we go.
Oh. See now?
Yeah. Now the nose is completely different because you got that nutmeg hit.
That's funny. It's a nice mix up there.
Mm. Oh, yeah. A little bit of spice there.
Wow. Mm. It reminds me of something. What is it that reminds me of?
Christmas?
Close.
No.
It's not quite Christmas.
No.
But it's something. Wow. I would...
I have to say, it's not, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised myself.
Look at that. We got one whiskey converter.
From gin to whiskey.
One at a time.
That's how we get you.
Pick you people off. Mm. Yeah.
Did you get a photo of it to get the color down?
I got the photo.
With the nutmeg?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
I even got a video of you.
Video.
Check our Instagram account.
I didn't authorize a video.
That's right. What is our Instagram handle?
Cocktail Podcast. Easy to remember. All one word.
Do you do at Cocktail Podcast? Is that how the Instagram folks do it?
Usually, if you want to message us or something like that, but you can just go Instagram.com. I think it's just / Cocktail Podcast.
Oh, okay.
There you go. If that's wrong, Send your emails to David
Coyne. Yeah. Take your wrath out on me. Yes. I'll be here waiting for it. Well, wow.
That's interesting. So we jump into the blood and sand. I mean, I'd like to. I'm going to knock this back while you're talking. While you're mixing the next one.
Once again, testing the sense of quickly downing two cocktails in a half hour and trying to share it with the vast listening public.
Well, that's their problem.
Eventually, we'll be able to market this as the last 10 minutes are really the best.
I think so.
I'm just going to say here. I'm going to read the thing that was in the book here again. This is, again, sorry, from Imbibe by David Wondrich. This is the notes on the original cocktail. He says, as with the sling, Holland gin and brandy were by far the most popular spirits used for cocktails. Thanks to the lower proof of today's brandies and jenevers, you should cut the water back as indicated if using them. The whiskey version of the cocktail ran a distant third. If you're not afraid of being considered vulgar, though, you can make your cocktail with Anchor's Old Potrero whiskey, which is overproof, even for the time, and authentic, hyphen, and delicious. Mm.
I just gave a sample to my wife, and she's returned it quickly to me. Obviously, we have a non-supporter on the on this drink, but...
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous looking.
Lovely.
Gained
one and lost one, so we're
maybe it's just more for gentlemen. I don't know.
It broke even.
Maybe. Mm. But, I wish I had more stories on this one, but I think it's great that we did this one to get back to that old, old classic.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know where you could order one of these. I bet there's probably a few bars in the vast United States where you could get a nice...
Probably San Francisco. It's a drink in town.
San Francisco was a drink in town.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
So.
Yeah, no, that is very smooth. And it was funny because I thought that the Peychaud's bitters would, well, maybe they did. I don't know. Sorry, folks. It's just a very pleasant drink.
Wish I knew how that sentence ended.
Hmm. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What do you want to do?
I'll just...
We've got a long-distance phone call coming in, folks.
Folks,
Dave and I will vamp.
Yes, well...
We don't stop for anything.
We don't stop for anything. Keep on going.
So, yes, the next one we're going to do, Dave, is the Blood and Sand.
Oh, tell us all about the Blood and Sand.
Well, again, this is one of those mystery drinks that we don't know that much about. It seems like the first... printed version was from the Savoy cocktail book.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they seem to indicate, might have come out in the late 20s before print.
Yeah.
So it's the Blood and Sand, named for the 1922 Rudolph Valentino movie.
Yeah, this is a little poster here in the book by Dr. Cocktail.
With him, is he dancing? Or is it with castanets, by the looks of it?
Well, he was very versatile.
He was. It says here, you'll want to experiment with the scotch you use, but he recommends starting with a good yet mild blend such as Famous Grouse, and so that's what we're going to do. This one has scotch, orange juice, cherry brandy. We're using the cherry herring because that's what we have, and we like that in the Trader Vic's sling.
Yeah.
And
we've really loved the cherry liqueurs.
We have. We're not hard of hearing. And a little bit of sweet vermouth.
Mm.
And this will be more standard. It's going to be shaken in an iced cocktail shaker and strained into a cocktail glass.
Yeah.
And so...
We have no cherry garnish, I'm afraid, but we'll taste it, right?
Oh, we didn't bring a cherry garnish.
No, we shouldn't have said anything.
Really...
Folks, just pretend there's a cherry garnish on our our glasses. It really does make the difference.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's the mix master. Let's see if he can wrench open the ice. You should really get an easier to open ice bucket. I don't know. It's like vacuum sealed or something.
It is. But it makes sure everything stays cold, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No.
Now, you could use fresh squeezed orange juice for this, and you probably should. But I've often read that a lot of your... just orange juice will do well enough. The limes and lemons you'll certainly want to have fresh, but that orange juice in a container will often do just fine, and so that's what we're hoping for, because we do not have fresh orange juice for this.
We do not. But we've been known to squeeze fresh lemons here.
We
have it on video, so check our Instagram account to see Jason just mashing the hell out of a lemon.
So we do an ounce of scotch. And that's our new wonderful friend there. We're going to do an ounce of orange juice. Like so. And I think people have actually mucked around with these proportions. Maybe they wanted to have more scotch, less sherry or something like that.
A little picture of the blood and sand here from Dr. Cocktail's book. I hope he doesn't mind. Hope we're not going to get sued for copyright infringement or anything. Hopefully be forgiving to fellow cocktail fans. But
exactly. If anything, that's going to make you go out and buy the book. And everybody should have this book.
Yeah, any cocktail fan should really go out and get this.
3/4 ounce of cherry hearing and 3/4 ounce of sweet vermouth, which will make Fred squeamish because he's not a vermouth fan.
No.
But he's not here and doesn't know that it's going in.
We won't tell him.
And in we go with that. Can you hand me that glass over there, please, Dave? The one way, way over here.
Oh, is what I'm going to have to get out of my chair for this.
That will be, give people a surround sound experience if they come to the show.
I'm going
to
hear my footsteps as I go grab the glass.
And let's give this the old...
Oh, yeah. Our favorite sound. Other than us sipping it. Oh,
have you
man.
Seen the Rudolph Valentino movie?
The volume's going right up the charts. It's right into the red now. The red needle's going crazy. It's as loud as a Ted Nugent concert. Oh,
is Ted Nugent the guy that hunts? Is that the guy?
Yeah, he's the hunter. He's Mr. Guns.
Now look at the color of this.
Wow, that is, I don't know how to describe that color. It's a orangey reddish kind of, a very viscous kind of looking. But it's, we'll find out if it's smooth or not.
Yeah.
But it looks quite different than the previous drink. Much heavier looking, I guess.
Yes, it gets a little froth on it. It almost looks like unfiltered apple cider kind of a color, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But let's see what this is. This is going to be one of the ones that maybe would convert a non-Scotch drinker to a Scotch cocktail drinker.
All right.
And cheers, Dave.
Cheers.
If only Fred
were here. Oh. Maybe magically I can bring him back sometime.
Now on the nose, is that...
I'm not detecting a lot.
I'm not getting a lot, but the little bit that I am getting is almost... It makes me think of candy. It makes me think of, like, sweet tarts.
We're in the bakery shop, folks. Having a drink.
No, the little hard candy. Little powder, okay. Remember those guys, sweet tarts? Wow.
Wow. Oh, hi, Fred.
Oh, here's Fred. I'm
glad you could come back. Sorry you couldn't
I was being called by an international man of mystery.
My goodness.
That's an unusual kind of taste to it.
It is a little bit of an unusual kind of taste. Oh, you didn't...
I love it.
Fred's all in.
Yeah.
You didn't even give the nose.
I just dove right in.
It's slightly caramely tasting to it. I don't know.
Yeah, where does the caramely come from? Is it from the sweet vermouth, I wonder?
Maybe, yeah. But it does...
We're using the Martini Rossi. The Rosso. So that's the red version of the vermouth, the Italian vermouth.
Hmm. Yeah, it's sort of like a baked apple kind of a...
Yeah. Nothing goes better than a caramel apple.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not what you expect.
No, you were thinking blood and sand. You were looking for much more of a plasma and grit.
That's right. Yeah. Something a lot more gritty was what I was hoping for. And a bit of a salty...
Well, it's great here. In Dr. Cocktail's book, he says, Scotch is a problematic cocktail ingredient. It has a reputation of not playing well with others. And really, there are only 2 mixed drinks made with Scotch that are not forgotten. The Rusty Nail, which I've had several Rusty Nails. And it's so good. But it's Scotch mixed with a Scotch liqueur. It's Scotch with Scotch. and the Rob Roy, a Manhattan with Scotch instead of rye or bourbon. I mean, that would be an interesting thing that we could do, is we could do 3 Manhattans with bourbon, rye, and Scotch and see how much of a difference there is, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I don't...
He says here that it's one of the cocktails you would use to convince Scotch haters to ponder the magic of barroom chemistry. Because, mm-hmm. again, now, you know what we should have done?
Oh!
Is you make this drink with the old Potrero.
Oh, yeah.
But at $80 a bottle.
No. Not a chance. But, no, it transforms. I mean, you wouldn't... I think if you gave this to somebody... maybe our resident blind taste tester.
Yes, you're a blind taste tester.
But you wouldn't necessarily suspect that this was a whiskey-based or a scotch-based cocktail.
I think the sweetness of the cherry comes in. The sweetness of the orange juice, even though it's not sweetened, but the natural sweetness of the orange juice meets the cherry to give you a fruit thing. The vermouth does something. There's probably a little bit of bitterness in the vermouth. And then you've got the scotch in there to... make you fall down.
Yes, the fall down component. But no, that's surprising. I mean, I think I have had one at the Tiki Tea way back because this is a very familiar taste to me, but theirs would have been on the rocks.
Now, Glen Toronto.
Yes, famous Glen Toronto.
Famous Glen Toronto. A friend of ours who lives in the greater Los Angeles area. I bet he hasn't been to the Tiki Tea.
He might not have.
I bet there's hundreds of thousands of people in the greater Los Angeles area that have not been to the Tiki Tea.
What a mistake.
It's a mistake. We've come from Vancouver.
Just to go there.
Just to go to the Tiki Tea.
Yeah.
So please, if anybody is listening in the Los Angeles area and you've never been to the Tiki Tea, look it up and go in there.
Try to find out when it's open.
Whereabouts LA is? We don't know.
Is it somewhere
at
Hollywood?
Sunset?
Sunset.
It's on Sunset. Okay.
It's on the east end when it starts to head south.
Yeah, it's down in the, I can't remember the name of the lake down there. What do they call that area?
Echo Lake?
Is it Echo Lake?
It's in the east.
Far
part.
Away in time?
It's Echo Beach. Yeah, don't get the song. I don't know.
Down by the original Disney Studios, down there in. Look it up.
Look it up, folks.
Los Angeles area now.
That's what Google's for.
That's right. Google is the Tiki Tea. TIKI/TI. The Tiki Tea. It's been there since the early 60s. And it's still family owned and operated. And they do these amazing, amazing drinks. Dave has been to Los Angeles several times. You haven't been to the Tiki Tea.
No, I haven't been to the Tiki. Because I had no one to go with.
I know.
I'm a bunch of teetotalers.
Well, we went and you stayed at the motel. But, well,
Oh, that's right. That time Dave was in town.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go?
I don't know. Too tired?
Probably. But no, this is the Blood and Sand.
The Blood and Sand. And the more I would say that there was apple in it, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
So are we saying that apple is just a cross between cherry and orange?
I think so.
All this time, apple's been hanging around?
Really? Yep.
But it's not just apple, right?
It's a GMO.
It's apple sauce. It's apple with, it's what happens. Yeah. It's cooked apple, sauce. It's cooked apple or caramelized.
It's a little
apple.
Bit of baked apple. It's like you're eating the peel. Because it's got that sort of bitterness to it.
Mm.
Mm. As do you.
Yeah. Yeah, Fred's bitterness is almost overpowering. It's...
Only exceeded now by my anger.
Now, go back to the first drink. And it kind of tastes a little too medicinal.
Ah, yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, medicinal and a little light on flavor because of the water.
Yeah.
That's 100 years in between those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
They had 100 years to get the medicine out of it.
That's
then
exactly
make it
right.
Tastier.
And of course, in David Wondrich's imbibe here, I don't think he's hiding the fact that that's what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says here, you will note, of course, for the original guy here, the original cocktail, the absence of ice. To the Jackson-era tippler, Andrew Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
The cocktail occupied an entirely different compartment in the brain from its close cousin, the mint julep, which Dave wants to have one of these times.
I would like to have a mint julep.
Yeah, we ought to.
The julep is a cooling drink. The cocktail is a tonic.
Mm. True enough.
Cooling drinks meant to be sipped and savored take ice. Tonics, on the other hand, are set into action with a flick of the wrist. They belong to medicine, not gastronomy.
Mm.
And,
That's true. In the early days, that's the cocktails, as they were called. Some of them were called. Well, there's different drinks.
Yes.
But yeah, they for the obvious reasons, they said that they were for other things other than just getting drunk. Well, that was mainly what they were for.
I think yeah. so, because I think if you're a little drunk, you forget about the headache or the your sore elbow or exactly. whatever, your yep. gout.
But yep. they would have this in the morning, they would have it at noon, they'd have it any time during the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think there's almost a punch quality. Mm-hmm. Do you detect? Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong, because you need to have sit for the punch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is interesting, too, is that this recipe was recorded by Captain Alexander, and he had Willard, right? Willard.
Oh, all Willard.
Bob Willard was the guy that actually concocted this, and he wrote it down. He recorded four of the great ones, Willard's, uh-huh. recipes for posterity, the cocktail among them. And he printed them in the book that he got out of his trip, and it doesn't have the title on this particular page of what it was. But I love those weird book titles that these people had
yeah.
back in the 1800s. They're the most bizarre titles.
Because Willard predated Jerry by yes. a generation, I think.
Yeah, I would say so. Because, yeah. If what year did Jerry Thomas die?
He died in the 1880s.
In the 1880s. And yeah. so he was only 52. Yeah. So when the 20s, when this is out, he's only being born. Yeah. So that's how, yeah, Willard's probably more than a generation, really. Mm-hmm. And
he only had one name? It was like Cher?
He had another name, but he didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
So he just never used it.
Just call me Willard.
His last name was Willard.
Yeah.
Wonderful Willard.
Wonderful Willard.
And then somewhere along the lines, Willard fell out of favor. So. Yeah. Do we have a favorite between the two of them?
Oh, the Blood and Sand. It's got so much going on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go for the Blood and Sand.
Okay. Well, now I guess it's comes you back and to me again.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's the Blood and Sand going down. Okay. And the original. Yes.
Yeah.
The Blood and Sand is the more enjoyable mm-hmm. of the two drinks. Mm-hmm.
Finally, a unanimous decision.
But as a historical oddity, the original is kind of neat to know that you're drinking something that they drank in the 1820s.
Yeah, no, the original drink works.
By my math, almost 200 years ago.
Well, because we are recording this in 2026. Oh, we're having another blind taste test here of the Blood and Sand.
Let's see what the other.
She
likes this one.
So we got 4 out of 3.
That's right. And Dr. Cocktail.
And it's leaving the room.
Yeah.
Ted Haig has said, you convince Scotch haters. Do you like Scotch? I don't know. She doesn't know. But but she prefers this to the original category there.
Well, thank you to Rudolf Valentino for inspiring the Blood and Sand.
Yes, now I want to see Blood and Sand.
Sure.
Well, check Netflix.
Some
yes, or YouTube.
Some reviews say that the title is better than the movie, but who can say?
Poor Rudy.
But it was a big hit in the time, so it couldn't have been all bad.
No, exactly. Paramount Picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably had a good little...
Oh, yeah. He had some money.
Cartoon in front of it.
Yeah, exactly. Nice animated short. Mm-hmm. But nope, it was, what a great idea.
Yes. So I'm going to give you the recipe one more time here, but it will also be on the website. But if you want to try the whiskey original cocktail, you're going to need 2 ounces of old Potrero 18th century style whiskey, 3 ounces of water, 4 to 5 dashes of Peychaud's bitters, or by all means, try to make your own, and a little bit of sugar, 1/2 ounce of sugar syrup, and then scrape that nutmeg on top, because that makes the difference, and it makes it period specific, because you don't find a lot of nutmeg on your beverages anymore. And you could have that, as I say, at room temperature without any ice, but throw it, you know, shake it up with a bit of ice, it just chills it down a little bit, and it is very nice. The Blood and Sand is 1 ounce of scotch, your favorite blended scotch, 1 ounce of orange juice, 3/4 ounce of cherry hearing, and 3/4 ounce of sweet vermouth. Shake that up in an ice cocktail shaker and strain that into a glass. Don't put any nutmeg on it. Throw a cocktail cherry in the bottom and enjoy that, because that is the winner of today's two drinks.
There we go. at coming to an end of another episode.
It seems a shame to come to an end.
It does.
Just when the conversation
make another two cocktails.
We could make another two cocktails, but I don't know if anybody wants to listen to that.
Maybe they want to listen to my quote of the podcast.
Have you got a quote?
I've got a quote. Yeah, I wish I had a whiskey quote, but this is gonna. This will have to do for now. From James Thurber, famous cartoonist and writer. One martini is all right, two are too many, and three are not enough.
Ah.
Ding, ding. But I like his quote on his deathbed when he said to his wife, "God bless, God damn," and that was it.
Really?
Cryptic.
Yeah, very cryptic.
What did he know?
I don't know. Maybe he saw something. A little preview of what's to come.
I thought that quote was going to go with that Algonquin quote. What was the one there? Who's the girl from the woman?
Dorothy Parker.
Dorothy Parker. Mm-hmm. I'd like a martini with dinner, something like that. Two at the very most. Three, I'm under the table. Four, I'm under the host.
Oh, Dorothy. Oh.
But it is a pretty good quote.
Wow.
Actually, here's just a little private story. A number of years ago, I was drinking martinis at a house party, and I had got to perhaps my third, maybe it was the end of my third, and I was feeling it. I was a little bit rough, and I was actually leaning up against the wall, and I wasn't feeling 100%, and Dave was there. Dave came up and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know. I think I've had a little bit too much on that third martini there. I was mixing them a little deep." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Oh, and I forget if you got me a glass of water or something."
Yeah, like I sat you down. I got you a glass of water. I said, "Here, you just rest a while." So I go downstairs, and I'm gone visiting with other people for an hour. And I come back upstairs, expecting Jason to be in the same place. Mm-hmm. But he's in the kitchen, another martini glass in his hand. The room, what the hell are you doing? You were practically passed out an hour ago, and now you're back into the sauce. Yeah.
Got my second wind.
Yeah, wow. I got better.
I got better. The more you drink, the better you get.
You
got
to push right through it.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that water.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of your better bars actually mm-hmm. will tell you, mm-hmm. have a glass of water between these drinks.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to get you drunk. We want you to enjoy these things, these classy bars, the wonderful New York bars that they have, the San Francisco bars. They'll say, "Have a water." Yeah. There's no shame in ordering water with a drink.
Oh. Yeah.
Fred has a glass of water with him, right?
At the very all times. Yeah.
Shame. Shame.
Oh, our drink. Traitor. Okay, well, I guess that's... I know the conversation would like to go on all night, but, you know, we got to respect people's time.
That's right. They have things to do.
They've got cocktails to make.
Sure. That's right.
I've got cocktails to look up.
Yeah. Old Potrero. OLDPOTRERO. Potrero. I'm not just mispronouncing it. It's Old Potrero. I might be mispronouncing it. But go get that, whiskey fans, and forget about that Northern Harvest from... Crown Royal. That is garbage. Get this Old Potrero stuff.
Oh, I hope we don't get a lawyer's notice over your comments.
I got a call from Gimli, Manitoba.
Oh, yeah. No, we get nothing but letters from Gimli now.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. And any last words of advice, Jason?
Only the thing we always sign off with.
Uh-huh.
If you're going out,
mm-hmm.
if it's your last penny,
mm-hmm.
you have a reputation to uphold.
Mm-hmm.
So always... tip